Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Peripheral Visions by Antonia Batts. We are broadcasting out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the good old United States of America. This is the 1,222nd episode. The telephone number to listen in will be 323-870-4174. I will repeat that again. The telephone number to listen into the Peripheral Visions by Antonia Batts on the Purpose Kingdom Network hotline is 323-870-4174. And please press number 1 and the pound sign to talk to the host. To listen on the internet, please type in www.blogtalkradio. That is BLOGTALKRAIDO, blogtalkradio.com. So that's .com. And type in Peripheral Visions by Antonia Batts. That is PeriPheral Visions, that is VISIONS. Again, PeriPheral Visions, VISIONS, by Antonia Batts. That is by BY. Antonia, A-N-T-O-N-I-A, Batts, B-A-T-T-S. Again, that is A-N-T-O-N-I-A, and the space sign, and that is Batts, B-A-T-T-S. So, please select either live shows or title at the icon box, and you can listen to review previous shows. Also, tonight's show is titled Violence, Protesting, Rioting, Looting, and More. Nationally and internationally, peace-seeking and chaotic outbursts are sending many mixed messages in the year 2020 about the need for reform, change, and constructive reorganization by citizens and the government. But the question is, can it happen? We don't know. Also, COVID-19. That is the pandemic virus, of course. There's an update and a need to still stay helpful to the medical and humanitarian victims of this pandemic called coronavirus. I'll expound on that, everyone. Plus, events. Well, July the 4th in the United States approaches very soon, and warm weather activities for the kids and adults to enjoy and still be safe from the virus are possible. Now, for those who are out there who don't know what the July the 4th holiday and celebration in the United States is called, Independence Day. And it's definitely a worldwide span of understanding of the history of the United States obtaining its independence centuries ago. And Happy Father's Day. You may have thought, I forgot, but for those who are still around and want to feel appreciated, we are here for you. We invite Mr. James Webb, the United States veteran of the Army from the United States, as I mentioned, who will be coming in nearly at the end of the show to talk about racial unrest. He also had felt as though it was necessary to expound on that with a book, everyone. So here we go. Again, good evening, everybody. It is a very stealthy and shifty move that was supposed to be a peaceful protest. I did say supposed, everyone, because people all over the United States on May the 31st, the year 2020, were marching peacefully, protesting, supporting the chant called Black Lives Matter, and others as well, All Lives Matter. It was pretty much sparked by the killing of a gentleman named George Floyd, who was killed, unfortunately, by a police officer with his knee on his neck. And as a result, yes, it sparked a massive national need to address the fact that not only was that unjust, but the man had lost his life. A family had lost what they considered a valuable person to the family. A child had lost her parent. A woman had lost her mate. But he's not the only one. It was said that this has been going on for many, many years in the United States. It may only be just a small amount of police throughout the United States, but the numbers are so few, but the violence coming from, unfortunately, this handful of people at the police department was massive and many. It's sad that anybody has to unjustly lose their life because of whatever it could have been, an ego, a violent act they feel as though that they are accustomed to getting away with, and things of all types of natures that make people do these things because they feel as though they can get away with it. As a result, mostly the people who were younger and quite a few people of many other ages had protested because people of different colors have had situations that they can probably tell stories about. To be not necessarily murdered, some lived through those brutal acts of crimes that were created by just that little handful of police across the United States and caused this particular type of an outcry in this year, 2020. And as a result, these people said, we're not taking it anymore. And it's terrible because considering that this is only a handful of police who were obviously labeled as racial and have been pretty much gotten away with all of these things across the United States after people have complained, it finally became something that's intolerable. Don't think that there were only white Americans and Hispanic Americans and Asian Americans and more, in addition to the massive amount of disproportionate black Americans who felt justified for what they call and label as crimes of injustice. They did it because they felt as though they're voicing more than their opinions. They're voicing the need to fear for their lives, for the people who are supposedly intended to serve for us and who get paid to do it and still don't find it in their heart to go past some of whatever their personal problems are that have caused this mayhem across the United States, considering the date May 31st was just a violent uprest of all of this that they want to actually just pretty much squash. So some of them, they had bullhorns to respond to those chants. They got out there, they raised hell. They kicked up their horns. They actually pretty much, you can say, over the United States, millions of people in different cities and millions of people in different states had found it necessary to get out there. As I said, it didn't matter what their racial profile was or their ethnic profile was. And it's terrible because they put in jeopardy the lives of fellow human beings who don't do all of those things, which are more good police than bad, because if it was that bad, our country, as well as any other country, wouldn't have to go around and protect themselves against people who felt as though that they could abuse that power. So there's a question I'd like to ask. Why would such a small percentage of the police who jeopardize the health and welfare of their comrades nationally by committing killings and maimings and harassment and other discovered crimes, why would they put their comrades, their co-workers, the people who have to go up against people who don't like them just because they see a uniform, why would they put them at jeopardy? Is it out of their own personal self-gratification? What type of self-gratification is it? Is it a power play? Is it prejudice? Some people don't even know how to spell prejudice. They commit the crime, but they know how to commit it, unfortunately. It is so hard to believe that many of that small population of police officers who committed those crimes have claimed to be Christians, churchgoers, believers in God, community people, people who believe in investing in doing what's good for the community that affect the world, and more other descriptions. And let's not even forget about who consider themselves law-abiding assistants. Excuse me, law-abiding citizens. Do they want to satisfy their yearning to watch human suffering and still put their fellow officers in jeopardy? You know, it's a coincidence. There was one female police officer who had a heart of gold. And she had definitely put herself in jeopardy in order to save the life of a fellow citizen. She was a woman who lived in another state, who was a police officer herself, and her name was Cariole Horn, H-O-R-N-E. She served the New York Police Department up in Buffalo, New York. As I mentioned, she was a former police officer and a 20-year veteran of the police department up there. So back in the year 2006, she, along with an officer that was a fellow officer she worked with, she was doing a routine traveling, whatever they usually do to see whatever an officer, a fellow officer, may want to look into. So he stopped a citizen. His name was Officer Greg Kilzowski. He stopped a gentleman and put his foot on his neck or something of that nature. Well, anyway, Carioli Horn, 20-year veteran on the Buffalo New York Police Department, she testified. She said, "Stop." And this was evidence made by the provision of Officer Carioli when she was being interviewed by Jerika Duncan, the newscaster, on the CBS This Morning show on June 18th at 7:30 a.m. And she said, "Stop, you're going to kill him," something like that nature anyway. And, of course, the matter eventually somehow went to court. She was being cuddled by her daughter, who years later said that 14 years ago, this woman, Carioli, she still stays fresh in her mind. She went to court. They dismissed the whole case, as if it was never important to address. And as a result of all of her intending on just stopping him from killing this gentleman, she lost her job. The suspect, he did live. And he came on television and he thanked Officer Carioli for saving his life that day. This isn't the first time it has been placed on television that someone had been given a routine stop. And don't think for a minute that only a white officer would do that. I mean, stop you and try to justify it. I've seen a black male in about his 30s attempted to do that to somebody you may know. Well, not with quite that approach. And, yes, I'm going to tell it. A person with my background, my dignity, and all that I've represented, yes, I served my country too, and did the best I could to remain a contributing citizen, not only of my community, but I've made my contributions out here like the next person. Had the audacity to stop Miss Batts in the parking lot of a CVS in an area called Broughton Gerard here in Philadelphia. Oh, I have a witness. Believe me, a living younger person. And it wasn't anything involved with a little piece of a rickety vehicle that I had at the time. And I'm just saying that to say, when does it end when people would stop a person for more justifiable reasons, not just because they think they can take the advantage of their position? I never thought I'd see the day I would even have to say that, because I have other things in my background that will definitely make you understand why I'm not trying to be the perfect citizen, but I'm trying to be the better citizen by making my contributions to be one of many out here. I'm not the only one. Well, anyway, back to Cariola. She said she never forgot and she never regretted the day she stopped that man from killing another person. I'm quite sure in her 20 years she had never seen anybody killed or attempted to be killed. So considering that being one of many police officers, she chose to be about the right thing. I know not being, being a police officer is not the easiest thing to do out here because you do have some people who may or may not be criminal minded. They can really try you, try your patience, try your professional demeanor. Maybe they don't deserve the respect they think they should get. But it does happen. But some people, they're not understanding of how to conduct themselves with the police because obviously that was maybe not part of their upbringing or their understanding. Most police officers will work with you and will not continue to do anything further than just question you a little bit and send you on your way. So some people will say, as an exclamation point to all of this, they'll ask this particular question. They said, these are the last days of on earth. And the questionable reason they would say that is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to be proactive and hoping that you can get the respect you're due? There are some people who don't deserve it, maybe, but that is why you do things within reasonable limits. Someone said on CNN this evening, the news network channel, they said that, and it was a political constituent, they said that the police in the past have been taught to be the police first, which is 90% of their job, and the other 10%, they were taught to be social workers. He said, we are at the times considering people are protesting about the way that these matters are handled. He was inferring to that he said specifically, we need to be more 90% social worker on the police force now and more 10% of the police when you perform your duties out there, in other words. I said, you know what? I've never thought of that being an area of consideration. In other words, that we need to really take on. In other words, we need to take into consideration how to hire people who know how to deal with people. You don't have to be other streets to understand how to deal with people. You know, in other words, you don't have to be street savvy and street slick and thuggish or anything. You just have to understand it because, number one, you want the job, you do the job as an officer who understands the social work side of the whole thing. Considering that, it is amazing. I said, finally, somebody said something that made a lot of sense. I don't care if they borrowed it from somebody else, that cliche, or whatever. But, you know, it's amazing that some of us, when we're children, we were taught in earlier years, the police officer is your friend. You can trust the police. Go to the police if you have any problems. So why should the role have to flip later on and you have to be considered later on a possible danger to the community first without the police officer approaching you correctly if there was any real reason to approach you? If they run your tags and if everything appeared to be in proper order and you still get stopped, why approach them and say you were just doing a routine check? And especially if you see somebody who look like they definitely have done nothing to bring any attention to themselves that was negative. So as a result, considering all of that, as a child, as I was saying and referring back to, when we were taught that as children, what make you think the parents of these little children these days would want to teach their children, go to the police officer and let them know to help you reach your mom, because they feel as though they've witnessed things like their mate killed in a car right next to them while their children were toddlers sitting in a back seat strapped in. So why would a mother want to teach their children that as they go to school now? Why would a mother or a father want to teach the children the police are your friends? Well, they themselves had been possibly incorrectly approached. Some of these police officers are going to have a lot of work ahead of them to change the image of the police department. Anytime you have had several, not one, not two, but several police officers, many of them women, who quit being the chief of police in their precincts and in their cities because they know that they have out-of-control police officers who have hurt people and have seen it unjustifiably done. I'm not going to give up on the police because I've definitely volunteered at an organization here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, USA. And I've seen some wonderful, outstanding police officers. Luckily, I have not had to work alongside with anybody as a community supporter that has had those qualities that I've known of. So what are we going to do? Are we going to do what they call defunding the police department, as it has been demanded by citizens who are in those protests across the United States? I mean, this thing was so unexpected until it just sparked injustices that were supported by protesters all over the world. It has been shown in France, Germany, and let's not even talk about some of the South American countries who people are trying to escape away from there because they have been caught up in cartels and things of the nature of that nature, who are scared for their life. One man had his 32-year-old daughter shot in the back, according to a particular publication, and she just dropped dead in his arms. Who is going to look into matters? Now, I didn't say it was a police matter, but who is going to look into matters that address your children, whether they're grown or not, to have to deal with that? So people all over the world have marched in the multi-thousands and possibly millions because it only goes to show you things like that have not been said about or heard about here in the United States. Just before the pandemic, this coronavirus had hit, it's amazing. I went to an event which was called the Women's International event that they celebrate all over the world. But it was here in Philadelphia. It was at the Red Cross, and it was very well attended. And guess what? The majority of the people there were women police officers of different ages, types, contributions, stories to tell. They introduced us to the new commissioner and the new sheriff. It was the most beautiful event. I believe that was held on back in, March the 9th, on a Saturday. It was the most lovely inviting that I've ever had amongst, it looked like it was thousands of police officer women who were there. And there were men who were of this police and the firefighting offices that had basically shown up out of support. There were other people beside them, those of us in a civilian capacity, like myself as well, some who were spokespeople from offices that supported the event. I tell you, I ate well. I've learned some things well. I even got a chance to take a picture with the new commissioner. Then, didn't all of a sudden, days later, this pandemic was an issue. And to bring it forward, more than a couple of months later, when this protest was sparked by Floyd's death, she has to get on the television and tell people about that particular riot, which was infiltrated. No, excuse me, that protest, which was infiltrated by riots and by looting and other violent acts of crime. It appeared that, in so many words, this was done by a very sophisticated source. Well, for those of us who don't try to pretend, we know with social media going on, which other programs that are out there that we may not even have ever had heard of. One was considered a group by the label of Antifa. I don't know about it, but I tell you what, they're on top of their business. They're getting paid to pay attention to all of those things. They showed an issue of a young woman who turned around and just walked past police officers' vehicles here in Philadelphia, put some officers' cars on fire when she thought she went undetected, but the surveillance cameras were there. And I heard there have been several arrests. Now, we don't know all the inside outs of whatever had occurred, but you never know. They may be onto some things by their personal investigation that went beyond of what they already have as arrestees. Maybe a bigger person in a picture or persons who has sparked all of this. And the looting pretty much costs not only this city, but other cities who may have dealt with something like that on a slightly smaller scale, a whole lot, which means that all falls back on in a lapse of taxpayers and other people who support the economy out here. Small business people, for example, got affected by that. And it will cost more for some things to be able to be replaced as a result of all of that, and let's not even mention other budgetary issues. So Commissioner Danielle Outlaw, she did not stand around on a podium in order to make sure she got in a million words. She had her gloves and her mask on, considering this is still coronavirus season. And she definitely made sure she was on her job doing what she was recently hired to. Considering I heard she came from out of the other side of the United States other than this East Coast, she probably had a lot to learn more about the city even more. So considering all of that, we have a lot to learn. Because after all of these people who created that particular disruption during a peace march, in regards to a man, had really sophisticatedly inserted himself to take the advantage of the poor people who live in this city. Because Philadelphia, to my knowledge, at least I was told, they have a very big gap in a division between people who are poor, who is the actual majority, and people who are the haves, as they refer to as. And that gap is severely large on behalf of people who are the poor. So, at this given point, there are many people who are marching on behalf of a particular situation, which they want to defund the police department. Now, some politicians like city council and whoever else are talking about a compromise of some sort, to my understanding, to restructure and to, well, not only there, here, but in other cities, to deal with the violation of officers who are being investigated for crimes they committed against citizens. And in the process of investigating those officers, some people had suggested you eliminate officers as a start who have a track record of taking advantage of citizens. And I'm quite sure that means more than once who have been complained against. So if you as citizens try to find out what the politicians in your area are doing, or whatever they are in your country, to do whatever you can to support what is right. And who in the world would want to kill children and women and men who try to be law-abiding citizens? But they feel as though in some countries there's too much corruption. Well, I don't blame the police chiefs that removed themselves from the Office of Police Chief Staff or whatever other hierarchy they did here, because after all, they want to make sure it's not said that that is what they represent. So in response to the protesters about defending the police, there was a House majority by the name of Representative James Clyburn of an area called Whip. He said, well, we cannot defund the police, according to his statement. We cannot defund the police, but it is said we can reconstruct the police. Also, there was another politician which made a reference to the need to begin a new policy. It's a woman. She said that there needs to be new policy making an effort to replace the police department and any other new considerations, considering that was a statement that was made by that woman on CNN at the State of the Union on June the 14th of this year. So it's a no-win situation if you don't find people who try to find a solution, and you as citizens can make a difference in that, write letters, have town hall meetings, ask for a response back to a letter of concern. Try not to make it past two pages, please, because people, they do have to go through other people's paperwork to address similar situations. But isn't that familiar, that among the need to necessarily negotiate policy and restructure the city's policing departments, that there are different things that you have to consider in order to get justice, so we don't have to riot and have strangers to loot and infiltrate our need to be able to be alive and live a good life because our prices went up and everything, and you can't even get a pair of shoes that you want because of all this that goes on. And not only that, you cannot have to worry about, can you send your children to school and they be safe? Bad enough you have your street criminals out there killing children on their way to school, killing people as they sit on their porches, killing just because they can kill and just because they can steal and get away with so many things. You know, this is not necessarily a direct correlation, but over in Seattle, Washington, there was a police precinct in the process of, interestingly enough, to want to look in forward to defunding the police department, had put a rapper who's probably about late 20s in place of the police chief, and any other staff was at the precinct. They gutted out that police precinct, according to what it was said, and send the police running. They grabbed up whatever they could, according to this particular report, and that particular police officer, who was the police, I don't know, sergeant, chief, captain, whatever, at that police precinct, he ran out of there too. And they just virtually took over. It's a pro and con to that. You have to hopefully get people who are not just qualified, but you think you can trust to make sure citizens in that area and wherever else are not virtually taken over. And crimes can't happen against them because you hope that you got the right person sitting in that particular seat. It was said that weeks from now they will restructure the whole precinct and whatever that goes with it and hopefully be able to have that particular precinct restructured for the purpose of making sure that the citizens are taken care of. But is that guaranteed? If that happened to happen in your city or your state or your village or your wherever you live, you may want to hope that you can get your higher-up representatives, if they're being honest, to work with people to see how you go about restructuring things. And if they did dismantle this whole police precinct, let not send it signals that everybody should be taken over, because we hope that maybe a coup wouldn't come in this place, like it has been known down in South America in some places, the way some people talk. I don't know them. I don't know where they are, but it has been said in so many words. We don't need rebels to take over. We need people who are going to protect everybody, make sure that there's justice. The frustrations of the public about being dictated to stay indoors despite the decrease in numbers across the United States and in the countries during this coronavirus outbreak has frustrated a lot of people. And that happened ever since March 2020, just before Memorial Day holiday, this happened. Actually, March isn't that day, but just before the Memorial Day holiday had happened, about a couple of weeks ago, people demanded that the economy should be reopened in the United States so they can survive and still enjoy life in the great outdoors, especially the beaches. Well, considering that there's a publication called The Atlantic who said that the coronavirus, the COVID-19 issue in Brazil, because right now Brazil is really going through it in a way that we used to go through it here in the United States. But don't undermine it, because after all, in Brazil, the pandemic is just beginning. It is beginning as the hardest hit country in Latin America, and it is considered that in Brazil, the first wave of people, they were definitely considered better off with higher purchasing power, who traveled, they were infiltrated. I'm sorry, they were infiltrated, and it affected people who had the highest purchasing power, who traveled from abroad into their country, and then also returned with this virus. And there's a young lady named Maria Laura Camus said, the Brazilian director of Human Rights Watch, which she represented, wanted to make sure it be understood that there were mostly white people who have access to tests and to the private hospital services. But more recently, we've seen increasing numbers of infections and hospitalizations and deaths among black people who, in the same manner, that were not getting these tests and things like that. They said amongst them that they have a bigger, higher rate amongst the black people that we have witnessed here in the United States. So she's making a statement to refer to the disproportionate number of black people here who definitely have been affected by the coronavirus here in the United States. So I say this much. Worldwide people, they still need their mask. I know I'm wearing mine for a while. I don't know about anybody else. And they still need products like the PPE products to help them get through this so they can treat people. Because after all, when we suffered a relapse here in the United States after people demanded that we reopen the economy, 17 states about a few weeks ago had definitely seemed to have surged up. Mostly they're in southern states, according to the way it's stated. They had the biggest amount of coronavirus victims. And today, the CNN News Network stated by a Situation Room with Wolf, he said that about 25,000 more people, they may lose their life with the virus by July the 11th, if I'm not mistaken. So with that being said, I just wanted to let you know that some of us, we still care, no matter what anybody say, because this whole thing about this coronavirus is not over. With that being said, I would like to ask if we can have someone to come in and pray over that situation, plus all of this other mayhem that we are dealing with, we're trying to get a grip on, through the prayer of salvation. Brother Rob?
Yeah, no problem. Yes,
thank
no
you.
Problem. I'm going to do the call of salvation, but real quickly, I just want to make a comment when you're mentioning, you know, Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter. You know, the whole thing of the situation is that Black Lives Matter has to be addressed. You know, even though it seems like this country want to ignore that issue that they're taking up, just like the issue where Colin Kaepernick took a knee. And where they, you know, everybody realized that he was right. And just like he was right, the same thing with Black Lives Matter. You know, the difference is, and if everybody sit back and just take, you know, a thought on what I'm going to say, you know, I do know that all lives matter, but let's just take the situation and ask yourself this question. If someone were to address you directly, like say, like my wife would say, hey, Robert, do you love me? And I say, I love everybody. That's not the kind of answer that's expected. So Black Lives Matter does have to be addressed, and especially with this country. Because, you know, the simple fact of following up with All Lives Matter is the simple fact that all lives are not being affected the way black lives are being affected. And, you know, with that being said, that's the, you know, the end of my comment. I'm just going to go ahead and do the call of salvation, and I'll real quickly do the announcements. And the call of salvation is pretty simple. It's letting God know that you understand the sacrifice he made. He sent his only begotten son to die for our sins here. You know, he didn't have to do that. So he did that for us. He did that for each and every one of us. And you know, you may feel like it doesn't directly affect you. It does, because the sins of the world, Jesus Christ took on, and he died for them. He died for all of our sins. And you want to just let God know that you accepted his gift that he sent, the gift of his son, dying on the cross for salvation. And one of the best ways you can do it is just admit it with your tongue and just let him know. It says, God, Father God, I just thank you so much for what you've done for me, for sacrificing your only begotten Son. I've been living in sin, and I wish to renounce my sinful ways, and I wish for you to welcome me in the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, once you said those words or any words that touch your heart to just solidify that connection with God and let him know that you accepted Christ in your life, you know, you're saved. And one of the best things to do is just, you know, tell a friend, just tell someone, just let them know that I've turned my life over to Christ. I'm a new creature. I have a new creation right now. I've totally changed, and I've totally accepted Christ in my life. And once you've done that, you can tell that to your friend, your best friend, your mom, your dad, your cousin, co-worker, and tell us here at Purpose Camp Network. And we gladly like hear your progress report and turning your life over to Christ. We just thank you so much. And the next thing we suggest you do is find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary that'll nurture you in the word of Christ. And, you know, I know sanctuaries are mostly closed right now, but you know, we have Zoom, we got Facebook Live, we have so many different avenues where, you know, we don't have to actually be in a sanctuary, but we can make our home a sanctuary also. So just make sure you just follow up and you know, if you can, you know, just contact us and let us know. We just, we're grateful for hearing from you. And you can contact us here via email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com where you get some comments, questions, concerns. You can also just, you know, just say hello. We greatly appreciate your correspondence. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom, where you can do likewise. We also invite you to like our Facebook page at Purpose Kingdom, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. You know, we have a, you know, deal of ministries here, and just feel free to just check them out, just check out our advertisements, and just check out, you know, some of our upcoming shows. We greatly appreciate that. And through any of our social media pages, you can listen to a morning word of inspiration, which is broadcasted on Anchor.fm or Anchor FM. Just simply type in Purpose Kingdom or follow any of the links on our social media pages, and that way you get a morning word of inspiration, and we greatly appreciate that. Anytime you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can simply type in a host name or a show name. You can hear the show in its entirety and at your convenience. And tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour with God's Will, God's Book 2, we hope you join us for Let's Talk About It with our trio of hosts. And once again, at the 9 p.m. hour, our trio of hosts, Let's Talk About It, will be on at 9 p.m. with God's Will, God's Blessing. We hope you share with a friend or family member, and we greatly appreciate that. And, you know, with that being said, we also appreciate our listeners. No matter where you're at in the world, whether you're listening online or via, we just thank you so much for your support here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We just thank you so much, and we really appreciate you listening. Thank you so much. And with that being San Antonio, I'm going to hand the program back over into your hands.
Thank you very much, Brother Rob. Also, God bless you too, Pastor Toy, for making Purpose Kingdom Network the station to listen to. Because of you all, we have an opportunity to share these wonderful things that are necessary to relate to the people out there. And, you know, if it wasn't for the glory of what God had offered us as a life, a beautiful life, only for some people to take the advantage of us, we would definitely not be able to talk about these things and sustain things on earth as they should be, not as what we want. I will also say, and as for the young man who I mentioned earlier who had approached me, I'm going to probably have to go to your community relations officer, if you're still on the force and can be found, and recommend that you will be one of those officers who definitely will be considered a person who need to be looked at as making the force 90% social worker and 10% policing, because you have a lot to learn and you shouldn't do it at the cost of not being knowledgeable on how to relate to the public. Now, I will definitely insert this. As for events, for those who are going to celebrate the 4th of July, or not, or just want to have a good old-fashioned outdoor barbecue, There are events. For example, water balloons. Anybody remember a good old-fashioned water balloon fight? Well, expressively, a battle, so to speak. Fill up the little water balloons that you buy in a store, maybe buy 100-pack or more. Have one set of them in one container, another in another, and eventually start your little battle. You can have as many of those and have the greatest fun. All I can say is teach the children to clean up beyond themselves, because if they don't know how to play with them and learn how to make sure that there's a responsibility on cleaning up, believe me, it will be a problem you'll have to deal with parents and other people to clean up behind them. And you'll probably say, gosh, I wish I would have learned how to clean up behind them or taught them to clean up behind themselves. So there's hopscotch. Hopscotch is when you get a piece of chalk and you make a grid that's a rectangle that goes from 1 to 10. You put 1 in one rectangular box and 2 square boxes up above it, the number 2 and 3, then straddle it again with the number 4, and then put 2 square boxes above it with 5 and 6, and so on and so forth till you reach number 10. Whoever gets up there without falling over as they hop on one foot, well, there'll be a person that will be considered one of the winners. It's very clean, easy, nice, fun, without even having to touch each other. Then there's the sprinkler hose. You hang it over top of of something that can support it at the top, and you can have hours of fun with the children jumping around in it, or even adults. When it's hot, it is hot outside. And then you can hang it on a clothesline or whatever you have available that's sturdy. Do it carefully, though. And there's jump rope, good old-fashioned jump rope. If you just turn the, you know, jump rope into the sound of a lot of little poetry ditties that the children had learned over the years, as the, you know, person in the middle skips and enjoys herself, whoever goes the highest number to whatever they count down at or whatever ditty they sing, that's who wins. So, yes, I'm quite sure there are other things that you can do without touching each other, and still please practice safe distancing if you can, and definitely try to comply by the places that are mandated to wear the mask. I know it seems weird. Wear it around your neck if you're not close to people. And when you get close, of course, have a healthy respect, because nobody wants to give it or receive it. Also, happy Father's Day for the fathers and grandfathers, great-grandfathers, and those of you who are wonderful male representatives. As a male associate to a family or family member, we have valued you for years to come, for those who want to be valued. You don't have to be a blood relative to be appreciated as a wonderful representation of manhood and true love that you could bring to warm the hearts of another person. God bless you. Now, we would like to introduce to you Mr. James Webb, who is a United States Army veteran, who said that he had served during the Korean War and the Veteran War. He would like to present to you, on behalf of Purpose Kingdom Network, his version of racial unrest from when he had served. Thank you. Would you come on, Mr. Webb, and tell us about yourself and briefly the fact that you did write a book, if I'm not mistaken?
Good evening.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
James Webb?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Please welcome to Peripheral Visions by Antonia Batts. I was hoping to find out more about you, because somebody who could serve in the era of the this is not going to take up your 5 minutes, by the way. This is just me introducing you. Who can serve on the era of the Vietnam War and even before then, one of the most renowned wars, the Korean War, that have told many stories on public television. We would like to meet you and find out what did you represent. Thank you.
Yes, I was in Vietnam. I went to Korea. Grew up in Philadelphia. Went in the Army like 21 years. of age, and ran into some difficult things that we should have been learned in here in the country, but we wasn't. We have to go to foreign wars and all these things to get to know a lot of things about life itself. And I came back, and with so much information I stored up over there, I went to West Point, where normally black people don't go. But I learned a lot about black history at West Point, because the library of black history is not the same as you find in your neighborhoods. This is special stuff for them political people and the presidents and everything else to have. But we have, even though we signed this paperwork to come together, we still got a lot of work to do. We got to take our children together and start raising them up and get them there to learn how to dress and all these things. Again, the pants hanging on their butt and all these things no more. Got to shine their shoes, got to learn how to dress each and every day. It's very important how they present themselves to the children. And stay out of your gangs and keep the gangs out of your neighborhood. Clean your neighborhood up. Make sure that people know what they're dealing with. They just can't come in and hang on the corners and everything else. And what I find, they got most of your elderly people out there on the corners hanging around with the pants like that, and the kids do the same thing. I was a cop over there for a while. I stopped the guy, told him to get out of the car. He had his pants down on his butt, and he had a little young boy in the back of the seat. He got out. His pants was bound around his ankles. I said, let me tell you something. I said, I'm going to give you a break on this one, but I'm going to catch you in this neighborhood again like that with that kid looking like that. I'm going to give you a ticket, because I try to be conservative what I do and treat people right. We have a lot of things to correct in Philadelphia, not only in Philadelphia, but around this world. That's why I wrote the book. It's called The Common Foe and the racial divide of America. You can get it from me. Get my James L. Webb post office box 0816, and my address is 1006 Garnett Drive in Burlington, New Jersey. Zip code is 08016. Again, my name is James L. Webb. I want to give a shout out to all the fathers today, wherever they may be. And I also want to say a shout for the women as well, because they play a big role in us doing things the right way. And we got to do it together as a family. And we got to have that information to give to these kids and let them know that I knew a lot of people. I knew Ali. I took them all over the world. I knew all them girls, Williams, his Williams sisters. I knew their father. He was in the 10th Special Forces. He learned about how to play tennis. By the time he was 15 years old, he was making money. So there's a lot of things you can do with your children. There's a lot of them hanging on the street in bad neighborhoods. And my goal there really makes me have tears in my eyes to see neighborhoods like that. Trash neighbors picked up, guys hanging on the corner. That ain't it. And when you get that new police officer and that new police chief, he should go around and give talks to them people in the individual in the neighborhoods. Go about three or four neighborhoods a month. And just talk to them people how they got to have raised their children and how they got to do things to rectify what they've been doing also. Ain't nobody clean-handed here. And we got to look at our police officers. They've been doing a lot of bad things over there, and that's been since I was growing up. When I was going to the store for my mother one morning, I was like 9 years old, and they called me over to the car. And I always liked police officers, because they was dressed really nice. But anyway, this morning they called me over to the car, and they said, you see this? And they showed me a flapjack that just got divided. It just got made for the cops to carry around. In other words, you hit something, and the flapjack at the top keep on hitting it, bang, 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 bang. So they said, you know, stay out of trouble. This is going to happen to you. They hit me in the head with that. And that thing must have hit me about six times before I pulled away from it. I felt so embarrassed and all these things that the guys that I would respect looked like that, and the officers like that would do that to me. I never told my mother about it, but the cops did that to me. So that made a bad attitude for me for cops a long time. I lived in 29th and Diamond. Now we had to walk from 29th to Diamond and 33rd Street for the park. So everywhere from 29th Street all the way up to 33rd Street were white people. And I had just moved around there. So one day we said, let's go to the parks. So we walked down Diamond Street, was going down 29th, and got over to 30th Street. As soon as we got to 30th Street, people started howling at us and throwing bottles at us and cussing at us and everything else. They had us on the run. We had to run all the way through them two more blocks to get to the park. White people, they would have that kind of disposition about themselves to do something like kids like us. We were 13, 14 years old. So I went home and told my mother about it. And she called the cop. And the cop come around and I told him the story. He said, well, son, I want you to stay out of trouble. I said, me stay out of trouble? I said, you're throwing stuff at me, sicking the dogs on me, and you're going to tell me to stay out of trouble? I was about 10 years old, 11 years old, but I wasn't dumb enough to go for what he was telling me. And like you say, these cops made have made a bad situation in a lot of these cases that hang on the street, and it shouldn't go no further. What's some good? I knew him. He got the mayor of the city. What they do, he allowed him to go down there and shoot all them people up in that neighborhood. And now he's in the newspaper saying he regret what he did. You know, some of the people out there with that kind of attitude and think he's going to bring four or five people. About six, seven people was killed out there. But these are things we have to do.
Mr. Webb, you got two more minutes. Two more minutes.
All right. I just want to shout out to you, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to do so. And like I said, the book is available. It costs you $30, but $7 of that for shipping, of course. If you want me to come over and give you
the book once again, please.
It's called The Common Foe and a Racial Divide of America.
Thank you. He did say, everyone, The Common Foe and the Racial Divide of America. So with that being said, I hate to interrupt you, Mr. Webb, but we thank you very much for coming on. I hope I gave you at least some time to describe what you represent, what you have done, and also the fact that you were a person who has served their country, and you were a sharp dresser and still is. Is there anything you'd like to say for 1 minute? Are you okay? I'm sorry. Okay, well, Brother Rob, it seemed like Mr. Webb had completed what he was going to say. I heard we have two callers. Would you please bring on the first caller?
Good evening. What up, what up, what up? How are you?
Oh, hi. How are you, young lady?
I am so good. This is Adrian, Misunderstandings Allen, just in case you didn't know. I was calling to say, yeah, fire, fire, fire. Say it like you mean it. Say it with your chest. Tell them. Get it together.
Oh, thank
we have
you.
No more time. Very nice show, very nice show. Thank you, Mr. Webb, for coming on, because that was just weird that Mr. Webb just gave me the story, because I was going to hit the button and say, I grew up in a different place, so I didn't really. It's even not seeing it as an obligation for me in it, because there is still time, like you said, like we still all can do this. But he just said something about 29 and that, or you know, and the run that he had to do to get from the one spot to the next. Father has that same exact story. So I can say that right there was all day long true. Now, my dad was from 259. So as we're going down, like I said, to get wherever they had to get, before you could get there all the way, you end up running the finish way. You had to end up running to get to a safe place.
God bless you, Adrian. You know, I would love to hear from you a little longer, but I heard we have a second caller, and I only have a few minutes for them. But it's always good to hear from you. And, yes, I would love to be able to hear your show again in the future, because you are a true inspiration. And for you to support Mr. Webb coming in, I'm sure that was a delight. And to discuss the fact that you have had relatives that have similar situations. God bless you, Adrian. And I'm sorry I interrupted you, but the next person probably only have 2 minutes now. Thank you, dear. Next caller, please. Or will there be a next caller, Brother Rob?
Okay, your caller's on live. I guess he's probably having trouble with his phone, so you can go ahead and conclude the show.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Brother Rob. Well, with that being said, it would have been nice to hear for the other caller. It would have been a blessing, but we can't have it all, but we can say not only myself, anybody who's willing to make a contribution to society by at least sharing a story or sharing the fact that we can make it a better world if we are willing to, or if we really want to. We don't have to give in to any racial epithets that have been implied and had ruined the lives of some people, which even ruined the lives of even the person who commit the crime that has obviously been considered some form of second-degree murder in some cases and other situations. Because after all, you know, why turn around and lose your wife, officer who committed the crime upon George Floyd? Why lose your wife? She had to divorce you from what, at least what I heard. I'm not quoting specifics. You know, your children. Don't you want your children to have a healthy attitude about you and what you represent so they can brag about all the good contributions you can make in this world? Not only you, officer, but there's been some who really don't realize that you can still be a handsome man or a lovely woman and just exercise beautiful behavior that is justifiable, and people can sing your names as a legendary police officer in your town that was about the right thing. Maybe you don't want that, but guess what? Your children do suffer. At least let them live out a positive legacy and think about things that their family member have to represent. And with that being said, God bless you. Thank you very much, Purpose Kingdom Network. Thank you very much, Engineer and Representative Brother Rob, Pop Hudson, you refer to yourself sometimes. But nevertheless, thank you. Thank you very much, Pastor Toy, and the lovely Adrian, who definitely has a show. If you can catch her on the nights that she's usually on, you know, call Purpose Kingdom Network at 9 p.m. most nights, Monday through Friday. Some nights on a Sunday, like tonight, an occasional time. There may be, in other words, just tune in. And if we're on, 9 p.m. is the approximate time we're on, 8:30 for other things, especially on the weekend. And we'd love to have you. We don't want to see the police department disbanded or defrocked. Well, defunded, well, we leave that up to the politicians as to how they proportionally allocate the monies. But we will say we would love to see this world be a little more, or a lot more harmonious than what it is, because you never know, we might really need each other. And you'd be surprised, it's a bigger world than that small-mindedness that go on out here. And with that being said, God bless you. And Jesus, as his son, had definitely relayed the information to God. Yes, we still like to live harmoniously as a people and as a people of the world. God bless and Godspeed. Good night.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
Save me.